is a presentation of KSL Sports.
Hello, Cougar Nation.
Who's open for three? Angle left takes it and makes it. Fusene Traore. And listen to the Cougar Nation.
Every Monday night, we break down the last week of BYU basketball and look ahead to the Cougars' prospects for the postseason. Cougar Nation. Here's BYU insider Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte on Utah's legacy home of the Cougars, KSL News Radio.
What is up, Cougar Nation? Welcome on into Cougar Nation. Every single Monday night during the BYU basketball season, 6 to 7, we're taking your phone calls, talking BYU hoops here on KSL News Radio, your legacy home of the Cougars. Also, if you miss any part of the program and you're like, I missed that opening segment, what did Mitch and Matt say? Don't worry, there's some podcasts. Go check it out on wherever you get your podcast, and also on the KSL Sports app. Just search Cougar Nation, and you can get this podcast and listen on demand. So right now, though, it's time for Trending Up and Trending Down in BYU Hoops.
Cougar Nation, trending. What's trending up and what's trending down this season?
This is a fun edition of Trending Up and Trending Down coming after a win. It's a little bit different sentiment and tone after a loss as you start to feel like, where do you point to the trending up after a loss? In a win, you can easily identify trending up, and then you can also easily identify what's kind of trending down. That's the greatness of Big 12 play. It teaches you a lot, as Mark Pope noted, with this conference. Trending up, though, for me, has got to be Richie Saunders, the sophomore forward out of Wasatch Academy, originally out of Riverton High School. I think has been outstanding. I thought this past two games on the road, you talk about the toughness in the Big 12 Conference. No one embodies the toughness, I think, on BYU's team more than Richie Saunders. This guy's going downhill. He's attacking the rim with some violence. Like, he wants to finish at all costs. And I think he's become the best finisher around the rim for BYU. He ends up against UCF in the 63-58 victory over the Knights. 8 points. 4 of 4 from the free throw line, which is noteworthy because this BYU team is not the best from the charity stripe. 2 of 6 from the field, 4 rebounds, 1 assist. He had about 22 minutes of play. This was Mark Pope on the performance of Saunders and what he's bringing to this BYU team on a nightly basis.
Richie's got a little bit of physicality to his game. He's got a little bit of fearless to his game. He's probably our most explosive cutter through contact and through grabbing and holding, and all those things are really important to us. Tonight, we got him a few minutes at the three, which is going to be really important for us moving forward just because there's some things he can bring to us at the three that help us with our lineup, and I thought he was terrific tonight. I haven't even looked at his numbers, but his impact on the game that didn't show up on the stat sheet is more impressive to me than even the numbers that showed up on the stage.
And that's a great point from Pope, because I laid out those numbers that Richie had, but he just is a guy that he'll dive out for a loose ball and kind of tap it and gets it back into play for his teammates. He's just that guy. He is a glue guy in every sense of the word that you need on a team that gets to March Madness. Because again, I think you look at this BYU team, I don't think anyone's looking at them and saying you're going to win the Big 12 title. I've kind of let that go after the Cincinnati loss. I'll just be honest there. But this team still should be in March Madness. And I think they're good enough, and they are a good team that deserves to be in the field of 68. They got to go earn it. But guys like Richie Saunders give them that chance to get to March Madness, get to the round of 64, and have an opportunity to make a run. That's the luxury of being in the Big 12, is that you're going to see every type of team, every type of style in this conference. So if you do get the chance and get enough wins to go to the NCAA tournament, you're going to be a team that's going to be battle-tested, and guys like Richie Saunders are the key to winning games that are close margins in this conference and also down the road in March. You know, what's trending down for me on this BYU team, the offensive firepower becomes kind of non-existent in close games down the stretch. Against UCF, they only made one field goal in the final 7 minutes, and that's one of the reasons UCF got back into the game despite facing a huge double-digit deficit. I mean, UCF fans, some of them, a few, were heading for the exits with about 8 minutes to go in the game because it looked like BYU was pulling away. You know, Trevenel had a great performance, 14 points, but then the shooting, the offensive firepower from Khalifa and everyone on the team just went silent, and UCF got back in the game. This was Mark Pope on that lack of offensive firepower down the stretch.
Yeah, we're super fortunate. And like I said, it's a credit to UCF. And clearly they can guard. I mean, they've guarded the best in this league. You know, they made it really, really difficult for us down the stretch. And that's what big-time defensive teams do. They're a top 25 defensive team. And they really amped it up in the last several minutes. And it's a hallmark of their team also. And they're going to lean on it a lot. So a lot of credit to them, and super excited about our guys about battling through it to get a win.
BYU is such a balanced team, but it's sometimes you wonder if you just need that one guy to emerge that can put it on the deck and go get a bucket on his own. BYU just doesn't have that guy. And, you know, Jackson Robinson made some big shots, and he's emerging more as the backup point guard for BYU as he's taken on those minutes that really have been kind of were previously allocated to Trey Stewart. That's no longer the case. After Trey had 4 turnovers in 4 minutes against Cincinnati, those minutes are going to J-Rob now. And, you know, but they need that guy, I think, in clutch moments where things kind of tense up a little bit, especially on the road, and you're holding on to a lead, and you're trying to not blow it. You need someone that can just get a difficult bucket on their own that doesn't have to be, you know, designed by a play or what you run within your offensive sets. Just, you got to go ISO and go get that play off the deck. So something to monitor for BYU going forward. What is trending up, though, another piece, since Matt Biamonte is out this week, I'm holding it down solo. Mark Pope, he's trending up. Win number 100 for the head coach of the Cougars. He's in his 5th season at BYU. And I got to say, it's been a whirlwind. And I think that there's not enough respect given to how successful Mark Pope has been. The last 2 years were challenging, and that year in particular where they went to the NIT, that was a tough pill to swallow for BYU because they rose high in the AP rankings to number 12. There was everything in front of them, and they looked like a team that was destined to get to March Madness and maybe make a run. They finished in the NIT, and that was a bitter pill. But last year's group, it was everyone that was following it closely, like myself, I didn't really get bent out of shape over BYU having those struggles the way that they did last year because you knew that was all building to the Big 12. I think the concern was, well, you only win 19 games in the WCC. What does that look like in the Big 12? 9 wins? And, you know, like the jury's still out on how BYU's ultimately going to fare in the Big 12, but I think Mark Pope has done an outstanding job with this program. I think Mark Pope, like, he fits the Big 12, you know, pantheon of coaches. Like, he fits in this league, his personality. He works in this conference. He works at BYU, too. And it'll be interesting to see if he continues to have more success and if he has the year that I think this team will have being a NCAA tournament team. You know, BYU, do they want to secure his future, lock him up long-term again to make it clear he is the guy of the future for BYU in the Big 12? Because that conversation has to be happening because when you're a program or you're any team that far exceeds expectations, you got to have conversations about a contract extension. So Mark Pope, already at win number 100 at BYU, he's done an outstanding job. He has the potential to surpass Dave Rose as one of the best head coaches in BYU history. You know, you go back in time, Stan Watts, of course, but in the last 40-something years, I think Dave Rose is the best. And Mark Pope's got that ceiling to be the best coach ever at BYU, in my opinion. And I think he's on his way. And he's produced successful programs and successful teams during his coaching tenure, and I just like what he's doing with BYU. Like, it's clear as day, BYU doesn't have the athletes, like even a UCF in the Big 12, yet he's still winning. He's still finding ways to get victories. There's some areas with Mark Pope that can still improve. I think some of his rotation, sometimes the substitution patterns. That was a grave mistake with Trevenel against Cincinnati. Those sort of things can be fixed. But I think overall, the body of work with Mark Pope has done, and the way he recruits, there's a lot to like with Pope, and I just think that he's doing a really good job, and win number 100 for him. His players celebrated that a milestone by handing him a jersey with the number 100 on it. Well-deserved. They had it traveling to Waco. They had it at the Marriott Center for the Cincinnati game, so it was getting some frequent flyer miles, and it would have added a lot more miles had they not got that win in Orlando, but they got it done, and Mark Pope gets win number 100. Let's take our final time out of the show. And on the other side, we'll preview BYU versus Iowa State. Everything you need to know between the Cougars and the Cyclones for Tuesday night right here on Cougar Nation on KSL News Radio.